The ESL Rochester Fringe Festival, the most anticipated festival in the region, will once again excite audiences with nearly 650 performances September 9th through the 20th. From comedy, dance, and theater to jaw-dropping spectacles across 39 venues all around Rochester. Don't miss amazing performances in the Spiegel Tent, including the world premiere of Cirque du Fringe Claws Out, Shot Sphere, Kids Fringe, and more. And direct from Italy, Sphere, a mind-blowing outdoor spectacle, free at Parcel 5, September 19th and 20th. RochesterFringe.com.
Let's take a minute to talk about Joe Bean Coffee, my go-to for great beans here in Rochester. I'm Chris Lindstrom, host of the Food About Town podcast and co-founder of Lunchador, and I regularly brew their coffee at home. A recent favorite of mine is the natural process Colombian Finca Buena Vista coffee from Edwin Zambrano. This coffee won a 2024 Good Food Award, and I can't help but agree with that assessment. My brews have been full with fruity flavors of pineapple, strawberry, and orange, and each cup has brightened my morning. Next time you need some beans, head over to Joe Bean's Roastery at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester, or shop online at joebeanroasters.com. For our loyal listeners, save 15% off your next order at joebeanroasters.com with code LUNCHADOR. You can also subscribe to Joe Bean's Perpetual Joy and receive freshly roasted beans on your schedule, and never be without great coffee again. Joe Bean is more than just coffee. It's a community, a commitment, and a cup full of care. Well, that music means it's time for another episode of Just Can't Not, and we are here doing previews for the Rochester Fringe Festival, happening September 9th through 20th, the ESL Rochester Fringe Festival, and we're here with a guest. Guest, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Lady Spectra.
So, can you tell me about your Fringe event that is happening on September 13th at 5:15?
It is going to be hosted at the Photo City Music Hall, and I do 80s synth pop and synthwave style music, 80s style music generally with a little bit of disco in between, but mostly it's disco, technically.
Nice. So when you are thinking about making a set for a Fringe event or for another event, how do you think through that and come up with an entire idea for a set?
What do you mean, for songs?
Yeah, like how do you pick what's going in? How do you formulate something like that when you're doing a show?
Well, I just figured whatever I feel is best. I create music with my soul, so I just want something that's going to resonate with people, and just create it with my soul.
That's awesome. So let's talk about when you started getting into music. You know, how old were you when you started really finding music as your passion?
Well, I haven't really started making music until like last year, almost 2 years ago.
Okay.
So I'm not really professional by any means. I don't have a studio backing. I'm doing everything on my own.
Love it.
So I'm even down to my own video editing and album art, and I don't have a team. This is all just me. So I just feel it and it comes out, as very cliche as that sounds.
Yeah. No, I think that, I mean, it resonates with me as somebody who's been, you know, doing recording on my own for a long time now, that just because you want to, just because you just can't not do the thing,
right,
is the reason to do the thing. Like, why not try to create something that you're passionate about, that you care about? So when you did choose to start doing that, where were you at mentally? Was that like, was there a spark of inspiration? Was this something that had been boiling up? How did that come about?
I've always could do sing, and I've done singing on and off throughout the years. And then, you know, I just thought, I'm going to bring the 80s back. Screw it. I'm from the 80s, and I'm going to bring it back full swing and disco. I think people need to get out and dance and socialize again. We're so stuck on our phones. It's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so plugged into our computers. And it's not that bad, but it's gotten to the point of where people are so sucked in, and we're just living life, you know, simultaneously through others. And I feel like we don't live in the moment anymore.
So when you were thinking about 80s and the disco inspiration and all those other things, do you have specific artists that were inspiring to you from that era of music?
Oh, wow. That's a loaded question.
I know, right? Because, I mean, it's wide, right? Because, like, people will classify 80s as a genre. Like, it's not a genre. It's a time period that covered so many different styles of music.
Yeah, you have dance freestyle, you have synth, well, now it's classified as synth pop or synth wave, and you have the new wave, and then you have, you know, heavy metal, and you have metal, and then mm-hmm. you have, you know, classic rock that comes out of there, the start in the mid to late 70s. I mean, you can even classify it in the 60s if you really want to.
Sure.
But I don't know, I've just always had old music in my life, and my mom's a baby boomer, and I always grew up with old music, so.
Me too. And that's like, I remember, you know, doing the road trips, you know, my dad would want to listen to like 50s oldies, you know, like.
No, I listened to a lot of 50s music too. So I know what he's saying.
That. Like that tone, like I loved that when I was a kid. And then, you know, when I was getting into 80s music mm-hmm. was for me, it was things like The Cars.
Right. Yeah.
Which for me was like, oh, that first album is like, I can't believe how perfect an album that was.
Yeah, no, it was a really good one, yeah.
And stuff like that, you know, still from the 80s, and now what's been resonating to me recently has been like Talking Heads and then hearing like global influences. But the more I dabble, the more I learn about the different styles in there. So when you mentioned, you know, synth, are you playing more poppy and fun? Are you darker and more serious, or do you kind of run the gamut?
I don't know. I just make music, and it's whatever comes out comes out. I mean, it's technically synth pop if we really want to categorize it with disco or synth wave.
Yeah,
because I've loved the energy and how, like, because to me music is so manufactured nowadays, and there's not really a soul in music. So it's like, you know, you want to put in that soul energy, and that's what I like to do with my music.
That's awesome. So if do you have a place where people can hear any of your music now? Or
yeah, there's Spotify. Just look up Lady Spectra. Then there's also SoundCloud Lady Spectra. It's on pretty much all the streaming platforms because I use DistroKick to distribute.
Awesome. So when you're creating, are you doing all digital instrumentation?
Yes.
From start to finish?
Yes. I know this sounds probably the most phony part of me, but I do a lot of it on FL Studio, and I bet people are going to be like, oh, then you're not a real musician if you do it all digitally.
No, I think especially nowadays, it's way more accepted than it was. You know, there was a tone to how people perceived it, maybe even in the 80s. But now I think it's, you know, so well received because it's, you know, so much music, you know, EDM and other things are all right. Digitally created.
I mean, I guess if someone who knows how to train professionally maybe might consider it to be phony, but like, yeah. You know, it is music in the end. And I personally feel like, I don't know, I can't read music for crap. I cannot. I can't read music at all.
I was bad at it. Like I sang in high school, but mm-hmm. I wasn't good at reading music. I was good at remembering. But I was bad. I was a bad sight singer, that's for sure.
Right. No, I can't read music, but I can feel it. And
yeah.
I mean, I guess in the end, that really is all that it matters. And I'm not saying, like, you know, digital musicians are not, like, you know, they're phony or anything. I just feel like, personally, me, I'm kind of just being a phony at this point. Because I don't sample or anything, but, like, I do everything with plugins and synthesizers that are digital.
That's awesome. So when you're sitting down to, you know, start looking at all the different pieces, you know, the musical side, the, you know, the singing side. Do you think of the lyrics first, or are you a beat person first?
So sometimes it'll just come to me. Like I have a song. There's one I just made that's coming out tomorrow.
Oh, awesome.
It just kind of comes to me. Like sometimes it's the chorus, sometimes it's the melody, and I'll just start humming it. So I kind of do it all by ear, and I match the tune to what I'm singing. So yeah.
Let's talk about the one that's coming out. Okay. By the time this comes out, that song will already be out and available. So let's talk about that one specifically. So what is that song?
Like the title?
Yeah.
It's called Love's a Hologram. And okay. It is, I think, my 7th song I'm dropping. And it's, I don't know. It's all how you interpret it. So I don't know exactly what you want to know about it.
No, I'm kind of intrigued. So what, like, from your perspective, and I know, you know, art is always in the eye of the beholder, right?
Yeah.
But for the person who created it, what was your intention for this song?
this song is about romance and how it can be interpreted in many ways. Like, there are sometimes people, when someone's giving affection and someone's
reciprocating.
Reciprocating, thank you. But when someone's reciprocating it, sometimes it's not always in the normal way, or like, I love you, I love you. Sometimes people can't really process it in a normal way, so it's very mechanical. Sometimes we act like computers and we don't even know it. And then it talks about also like dating like online in a weird way, and it's like people just kind of like go through and they just hook up and they use their phones. And I myself personally, I consider myself to be running on Windows 95, or I'm a Macintosh SE from 1990. And
shout out to the SE, a quality computer.
And I consider, even though I love like modern technology, I love old tech hardware. I have a cassette player at home. I still know how to, like, I'm old. I know, still know how to run a VCR and everything. And it's just that, like, sometimes the way that I work with romance could be considered old fashioned. Not that I'm into the staying at home and being in the kitchen kind of thing. I like going out and doing things. I don't want to be on the phone. I don't want to hook up with people on an application and then it just kind of all fizzles out, or I put everything into my relationship. And sometimes like my previous, you know, dating partners, they would just not be reciprocated the way my love language is.
Yeah.
And it just felt very mechanical. So I feel like I run on old hardware half of the time.
So it seems like you run on passion. You run on like, hey, you want to be present. You want to be there. And I love that you mentioned that, you know, people react to affection in different ways.
Yeah. And it's not their fault. Everybody loves differently. And it also depends on how, like, where your background is, how you grow up. And I get that. But there are some people out there who, you know, sometimes don't know how to process love in the way when someone's really affectionate and it's like, oh, emotion, I detach.
Yeah. And, you know, even sometimes when they're trying to express affection, like, there's this phenomenon, I forget the terminology for it, but it's the, like, you see something cute and you want to crush it kind of thing. Like, and you're like, oh God, I love it so hard. I can't, I gotta get it. And there's this, like, you know, visceral, like, thing. Yeah. Oh, I want to hug it so hard.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like that. And then somebody's like, oh, affection. Oh, the best way I can describe it is like, have you seen the new King of the Hill reboot?
I saw some clips from it.
Okay, have you seen the clip where Boomhauer goes to Hank and he's like, oh, the king's return. Oh, I'm getting a hug. It's kind of like that. That's like the best way I could describe it using Hank.
I love that. And it's like, you know what? There is a disconnection, right? There's this, not an embarrassment, but there's a concern that if you're honest about how deeply you're feeling about things.
Yeah, and people pull away, and it's kind of sad that we live in an age where people just, there are people out there that want to have relationships, but then people have like too high expectations for things. And it's like, I understand you have goals and things you want to reach, but at the same time, the perfect, and it's so cliche, but the perfect person will meet you when the right time comes, and it will be when you least expect it. And I'm talking from personal experience.
Yeah. And it also, like, it is the worst thing for somebody to tell you at that time.
It really is. It sucks.
I lived that, and people told me that. I'm like, I hate that you're telling me this right now.
Exactly.
And damn if it wasn't exactly how it happened.
Yeah.
That I was out doing something I loved, and I wasn't thinking about it. And you're just out doing something you care about passionately.
Yeah.
And that is the thing people are interested in. That's the thing people are attracted to. It's not all the rest. It's not the trappings. It's how, like, people identify passion in somebody. And passion can be so many different flavors.
Exactly, yeah.
It can be neon pink, like your jacket, which is my favorite color to wear.
Oh, really?
That's so funny. Oh, I love fuchsia.
Oh, nice. No, I have a bunch of, like, 80s clothing at home.
Do you like the big colors?
Oh, if I'm dead in a paper, like, if I'm caught in one of the modern day beige brown paper bag dresses, send me to the home. because that means I'm done. I cannot wear any modern clothing at all whatsoever.
See, I was hoping with this, like, you'd also have like a contrasting big scrunchie on too.
No, I have big scrunchies at home, but like, you know, I had to come in with big hair. It's all part of my thing. I do that. This is not just, it's not just my prestige persona. It's my life. I live in this decade. I love everything about it.
Yeah.
And I understand, like, there's a really cool term that I like to say that goes through the vintage community. Vintage styles, not values. There's values of each different time period as we go out, but there are different types of expressions and styles. And there are people that do and can express themselves, but like nobody, at least in mainstream, are like wanting to do the big hair, the big colors, the bold makeup. Like, I have bold makeup underneath, but I'm not taking off my glasses because they're part of the outfit. It's accessory. It's the ensemble.
Yeah. So I'm going to bring out a quote from now one of my favorite movies from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Return of the Living Dead.
Oh, okay.
Which, a tremendous comedy horror zombie movie.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like it when I first watched it. My wife was a huge fan, and she introduced it into my life, and I've come to really love it. There's a quote from one of the characters, like a punk rock guy. His name's Suicide.
Oh, I
because,
love that.
You know, of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were all kind of making fun of him. He's too serious. And, you know, he's wearing all the big, you know, big spikes and big chains and, you know, spiky necklaces and things. And his quote was, "You think this is a fucking costume? This is a way of life."
No, to me, that's really what it is. And it's really funny that you mentioned it, because I was talking to a gentleman in my apartment complex. I own a Firebird from 82.
Ooh.
And I left something in there because I had to run an errand earlier today. And I went over there and he looked and he was like, "This is your car?" And I said, "Yeah, this is mine." And we ended up talking and I told him I wear 80s. I do the whole thing. And he was really appreciative, especially that he was a teenager in that time. So
now, is your Firebird a T-top or a hard top?
Hard top. And I'm okay. Kind of glad of this because I already own a convertible from 93.
Yeah. Rochester is not an optimal place for a T-top.
No, it's not. But no, it's not. And I'm happy with the Firebird, honestly.
Yeah.
I really do love her. She's so cute. I love her.
That's awesome. And before we close out, does your Firebird have a name?
Yes, her name is Sylvia. My red convertible's name, Rhonda. And then what was the black one's, the Cadillac's name?
Aberdeen.
We own three classic, four. No. How many do we own?
Four, including the 96 Brougham I just picked up.
Yeah.
See, you know what? It really is a way of life. And if you want to live in that life for a period of time, Lady Spectra, where can people find your event?
You can find it at the Photo City Music Hall, and it'll be there on September 13th, I believe, either at 5 or 6.
5:15?
I brain farted on the name of time. I'm sorry.
Yeah, 5:15. And where can people find your music online?
You can find it on all streaming platforms. There's Spotify, there's SoundCloud. You can also find it on those YouTube-generated musician websites. There's Apple Music. It's all over if you just look for it. And yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So check out the music from Lady Spectra, wherever you get your fine music, and definitely check out the Rochester Fringe Festival from September 9th to 20th. Go to rochesterfringe.com to get your tickets for events. This one is a free non-ticketed event. So show up to Photo City, you know, support a whole bunch of different performers that night, and enjoy the Fringe Festival.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.
It's a way of life.
Hey, this is Paulie Guglielmo, and if you'd like to hear the behind-the-scenes stories of some of your favorite small businesses in Rochester, join me for one-on-one interviews with the entrepreneurs behind those businesses. It's the Paulie Guglielmo Show podcast, and it comes out every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. right here on the Lunchador Podcast Network.
Hello, hello, folks. My name is Magnus. I am a host of The Mind of Magnus. It's a podcast where I focus on expanding my brain and bringing some awesome people along the way to help expand your brain. So I have some new seasons and some awesome new guests coming up this year. So join me. Send me some factoids if you have your own. I even have a call-in line. So check it out. Find me at mindofmagnus.com, wherever you get your Lunchador Podcast Network, which is everywhere.